Before we get started, I want to make a couple of announcements of some news. It probably isn't news by now. Word travels fast in a small town, but we got word from the diocese that the diaconal assignments have been assigned to those who are aspirants to the permanent diaconate. So Mr. Tim Cox is going to be assigned to the North Spencer County Cluster, so St. Joe and Dale, Mary Help of Christians and Mariah Hill, and Santa Claus, St. Nicholas and Santa Claus, for his diaconal assignment. Mr. Bill Keller will be assigned, once he is ordained as a deacon, will be assigned here at St. Bernard's and at St. Martin's as well. And of course, Deacon Mike is going to stay on in his capacities as such. So I just want to thank those men for putting themselves out there for the service of the church and for serving us here in Spencer County. Thank you very much. Good things coming. Today we hear a couple of stories. Of course, they're parallel. The first reading is almost always paralleled with the gospel when we have these Sunday readings. And today, in the first reading, we have a story of David, King David, who was a gifted man in his own right, but he was also a flawed man. And we hear about some of those flaws in this reading. As you may know, he committed adultery with someone else's wife, and then conspired to have that man killed, and he was successful. And then he married her. He married this man's wife, this man's widow. And he thought he got by with it. Then the prophet Nathan came and told him otherwise. He said, "The Lord is very displeased with you." David's response, of course, was one of great sorrow. It's kind of, there's a saying out there, "I would sin like David. I would feel fine about sinning like David if I could repent like David." There's a great deal of truth to that. When we look at the story of King David, look throughout his life in the scriptures, as testified in the scriptures, he is a man, again, with very deep flaws. He's an idiot sometimes, and he's a great sinner. But he's also even better at repenting, which is a beautiful thing, really. He immediately, whenever he realizes what the full weight of what he has done, sits in sackcloth and ashes. He calls out to the Lord for days without eating. "Please, Lord, you know, forgive me." And of course, the Lord does. The Lord does forgive him. But then contrast him with his son, Solomon. When we read the story of Solomon, Solomon was one of the most gifted people in human history. He was very intellectually gifted, massively intelligent, very wise. People would come from all corners of the known world to ask his advice on things. And yet he let that go to his head. As gifted as he was also very proud, and that led to his destruction. He ended up frittering those great gifts away in a life of idolatry and sin. And we don't really have any evidence that he ever repented of that. So on the judgment day, I myself do not want to trade places with Solomon. As gifted as he was, he ended up squandering it. And I don't know where he is. No clue. I don't want to guess. But it's probably not good. So we contrast him with his father, who was, though flawed, very sorrowful for his sins, and receive the Lord's love and forgiveness in return. We see a similar contrast today in our gospel reading. These two characters that Jesus is with. He's with Simon the Pharisee and this unnamed sinful woman. Simon is, like Solomon, kind of in the upper echelon. He's gifted intellectually. Otherwise, he wouldn't be a Pharisee. He is considered to be some sort of a religious elite in the Jewish community. And yet, because of his pride, he's cold and he's judgmental, and he looks at this woman as less than a person. And he even looks at Jesus as less of a person. Because it's like, this guy doesn't even know who's in front of him. He doesn't have a clue. So he's judgmental, he's blinded, and he's unable to either give love or receive love because of his pride. Okay. Contrast him to the woman who has absolute humility. She knows what she's done, knows it very deeply, and is deeply sorry for it. And the other thing that she knows is that the Lord Jesus can do something about it. And so she comes into the house practically on all fours and does something for him that this man who asked him to come into his home did not do for him. She washes his feet. Now, it was a common courtesy at that day and time, of course, to offer something to a guest so that they could wash their own feet. That was just common courtesy. This guy didn't even do that for Jesus. He invites him over to his house, but doesn't give him any common courtesy. And Jesus points that out to him, by the way. You know, you didn't even give me water to bathe my feet. You know, of course, at that time, you know, you're walking around in sandals. It's the desert. It's dusty, dirty. You know, you're going to be a dirt ball, right? He didn't even give him anything to wash himself up with in order to come into the house. This woman weeps, washes his feet with those tears, and dries his feet with her hair. How many of you would do that for a guest? Raise your hand, please. I don't see any hands. It's funny. See, in her radical humility, she shows great love. She knows that she's done wrong, knows it deeply, and knows that Jesus can just as deeply or more deeply fix that wrong. And she goes to him. Simon just never does get it. This Pharisee, he doesn't get it. His pride won't let him go there. His pride won't let him look at his own sins and his own sinfulness. And even though, objectively speaking, she may have done more and deeper wrong things than he did, she was forgiven for them, and he was not. We can't make excuses for our sin. See, this man, Simon, he was too busy looking at the sins of others to really explore his own sinfulness. He was too busy sitting back and trying to analyze Jesus and figure out who this guy really was and whether he was really worthy of the reputation that he had. He was more concerned about that than looking at his own problems. We can't make excuses for our sin, folks. We can't. There's no dressing it up. Does this sound familiar to you, maybe, this interior dialogue? Well, I don't know. That really wasn't that bad, was it? There are other people that do worse. Or, there were other things going on there that made me do that. There were conditions that just really pushed me that way, and that's why I did that. Or, nobody needs to know about that. It'll be fine. Do we rationalize things like that sometimes? And whenever we examine ourselves, if we do? Or do we rather shy away and find ourselves, you know, instead looking at others? See, the proud person has trouble recognizing their faults, and so they can't be forgiven for them. And that's where we are today in our gospel. Here's the deal. If our sins move us toward God and his mercy, then we're better for it. Now, let me tell you, I'm not encouraging you to go out and sin, okay? I'm not encouraging you to just go out there and just start digging into the dirt. But what I am saying is that the one, even though they have sinned more, who asks for that forgiveness for all those things, is better off than the one who doesn't ever ask for forgiveness, even if they don't sin as much. They're better off. You know, the person who, even though they may not sin as much as somebody else, never asks for forgiveness or never wants to go there and never wants to look at it, they got a better chance of making it to hell than anybody else. Promise. So, here's the deal. And I'll ask all of us a few questions, I think. Do you wish your faith were stronger? Do you wish that you had more conviction about what it is that we believe as Catholics? Do you wish that you were less lukewarm in your faith? Do you wish that you could feel God's love more? Do you wish that you could hear Him speak to you more convincingly? There's a key to that. It's being repentant of our sins. And I can tell you from my own experience that whenever I have honestly looked at myself, it's hard, but it's necessary. And when I've looked at myself and seen what doesn't belong there and handed it to the Lord in good faith in the confessional, I know I'm forgiven. And I know that He does love me. And as I go through my life, then I can feel that certitude sinks in. I'm more convicted about what it is that we believe. I'm more convicted about what it is that I teach. I'm more able to love. I'm more able to receive love. And I'm less likely to concentrate on the faults of others and judge them for it, and rather more able to help them out of that pit of despair that we call sin. Folks, we're all called to do that. We're all called to do that. The woman who sinned much was forgiven everything. Simon, who didn't ask for forgiveness, didn't receive it. Here's the thing. Those two people were in the same room with Jesus. One was just as close to Him as the other. Jesus loved both of them exactly the same. One of them walked away forgiven, and the other did not. What was the difference?